It's time to turn to the WUKY Sports page with your host, Keith Elkins, revealing conversations and stories you thought you knew from prominent Kentucky sports figures. Now, here once again is Keith Elkins.
Victoria Dunlap Conley is with us today. She is a member of the University of Kentucky Athletics Hall of Fame. She played basketball at UK from 2008 to 2011 and was first team All-America as a junior, third team as a senior, a two-time SEC Player of the Year, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, first team All-SEC as a junior and senior, second team as a sophomore, led the team to the NCAA Elite Eight as a junior, and she's in the top 10 on numerous UK career statistical lists, including second in games started, rebounding, blocks, free throws made, and she's, to say the least, all over the UK basketball record books. And she also played two seasons in the WNBA and played some professional basketball in Spain as well. Victoria, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, let's first, before we begin to look back, catch us up on what's going on currently with you. I know you're busy with family and you have done some coaching, but tell us about what's going on in your life right now.
Just being a staying-at-home mom, a wife, my husband, and my two younger kids, and just coaching a little bit of basketball, AAU basketball over the summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and all of that, no doubt, keeps you very, very busy, especially the part about the kids. That's but it's a great time for you to be able to stay at home and be with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, tell me about when you first became interested in playing basketball as a child. You played, I know you mentioned in your UK Hall of Fame induction speech that you played with and against your brothers, who are a couple of pretty big guys, and they kind of helped you along in certain ways. Tell me about that.
So I was the youngest only girl, two older brothers, so I was always kind of trying to be in their footsteps. And I really didn't start playing basketball until I was nine. So before that, I was, you know, running track, cheerleading, gymnastics. I played a little bit of softball. But my brother started playing basketball, and I wanted to be a part of that. And when I was about 9 or 10 years old, my mom signed me up to play with my youngest brother, George. And it just kind of went from there.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they were inspirations for you and kind of helped push you along to be a better athlete as well. I was going to ask you about your older brother, King Dunlap, was a professional football player, played in the NFL for a number of years. So that had to be a pretty exciting time as you followed his career.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's a few years older than I am. So when he kind of his first few years, I was still in college, but I was able to go watch him play a few times. But it was always fun to go see family and go see him play. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned being in track and field, and I know that was a very important part of your sports career, especially as you were growing up. What drew you to that, and what events in particular were you interested in?
Well, what drew me to it was my mother. My mom ran track at Tennessee State University. Mm-hmm. And so that was just kind of, I guess, more of a natural thing for me. So she was coaching. She was a high jump coach. And so I would just go to all the clinics and practices with her and just kind of learned on the fly. And then she just kind of put me out on the track and I continued to enjoy it. And so then actually I've done track the longest. I started running track when I was about 6 or 7 years old. So it's more of a natural sport for me. But at growing up, especially once I got towards middle school and high school, I was a multi-eventer. So I did the pentathlon for my high school, and then I did the heptathlon for USA Track and Field.
Wow. Well, that takes a lot of dedication, a lot of time. I know you enjoyed it and had fun with it, but you really have to be dedicated to excel in something like that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Dedicated to practice and getting better, pushing yourself, having your coaches, you know, yell at you when you don't really want to be yelled at, mm-hmm. but they definitely know what they're doing and pushing you to be better. So,
yeah, that's something an athlete has to have, a good relationship with a coach. And at the same time, if the coach isn't pushing, then that's not the most effective means of coaching. So you have to have that balance, don't you? You have to understand what the coach is doing when he or she is getting on you to be better. But that's the goal, isn't it, to be better. So how did you form your relationships with your coaches?
When it started with my parents, they were kind of my first coaches, and just knowing that they had a real true intention of, you know, making sure that I was doing the right things rather than just being winning or losing. It was making sure I, technique-wise, I knew what I was doing, and just always encouraging me to do my best and be the best that I could be. And then just pretty much every coach that I've had has kind of been like that, kind of pushed me to be better, to expand my abilities, whether that was track, basketball, softball at one point. But, I mean, you always want to have that coach or that person to kind of push you, say those right things, to kind of get you thinking a little bit and take that next step.
Was the desire to compete always there? I mean, a lot of us play sports for fun, or we want to win when we play. But, I mean, you have to have an extra, I would think, an extra element of competitiveness to be a real elite athlete. Did you feel like you always had that, or was that something that you sort of gained along the way as you got better?
I would say I always had that. Again, growing up with the only girl with two older brothers, I was just trying to keep up with them. And so when we were younger, they'd have like little wrestling matches or whatever, and I wanted to be a part of that. And sometimes they wouldn't let me, so I would cry about it. But also I just wanted to do what they were doing. So just trying to compete and kind of hang with them, just kind of turn it over and continue. So.
Yeah, that carried over into your own sports career. Who else influenced you? We've talked a little bit about your family. You've mentioned coaches, but were there some individuals along the line that you would want to point to as being pivotal in your sports career?
I'd say all the coaches that I've had, pretty much. So there's quite a few. My track coach, who was my favorite track coach, his name was Sam Smith. He always kind of knew what to say and how to say it and how to get me to push myself. All of my basketball coaches, my middle school basketball coach, my high school basketball coach, and then obviously my college coach, had different levels of experience with the game, but they somehow knew that I would turn out to be as successful as I was, and got me to the point where I kind of thought the same way for myself and realized that I can continue to get better and make a living out of that. So that's what I did.
And that's something now that you working with younger athletes can pass along. And all, I mean, you gain knowledge from all of those coaches and family members in your case that you were associated with. And do you find that now of value as you try to pass along your knowledge to the younger athletes?
Yes, definitely. All the coaches that I've had, again, we've had great relationships. And so just kind of mirror what they've done for me and the responses that they had, just trying to turn it back on the other side. Now that I'm on the other side with coaching rather than playing, just trying to find that connection with the girls that I coach and just making sure I'm saying the right things, doing the right things to make sure they're improving not only themselves as athletes, but also just people, individuals, classroom, and all that stuff.
Now, for a lot of elite athletes, there's a point as they're growing up where they realize, or maybe a coach passes this along to them, that you can do something special with this and build on your sports experience and maybe turn it into a college or professional career. Was there a point when you realized that, hey, I can do something special? Do you need to attend to that? Go ahead if you do. That's all right.
It's okay. No, okay. He's supposed to be taking a nap, but
oh, okay, that happens sometimes.
I'm down here. Yeah, I know. He's fine.
okay. But I was going to ask you if there was a point where you realized that you could do something special with your sports ability.
I mean, honestly, I knew that there was always something there, and then once I got to high school, it was either going to be track or basketball for me, and I just kind of knew just from what my parents told me, what my coaches told me, just kind of an intuition of how good I was. Hold on a second, buddy. Yeah, I'm on the phone. Hold on. And so just being able to put myself in the right positions at the right times, being able to be successful and continue to grow my skills. So I can't say there was a specific moment. I just kind of knew that from early on, it was instilled early on that was going to be something that I did. So.
You played your high school basketball at Brentwood Academy in Nashville. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, and so tell me about that program there and how you progressed as a basketball player through the program at Brentwood.
Oh yeah, so my coach Rhonda Brown. She actually played. She's from Missouri, but she played at Vandy. She won the SEC championship there, and also she won a Final Four there. But she played in the inaugural season of the WNBA, played overseas. So I think having somebody with that type of background and knowing that that's what I wanted to do was definitely a step in the right direction, because at that time it wasn't known to a lot of people that, one, that there was a league, but also women playing basketball overseas. So that was a very eye-opening for me, because I kind of knew about it, but didn't really know anybody personally. Mm-hmm. But from the very beginning, she saw in me what pretty much everybody else saw in me, and I didn't see it at first, but her just being able to, again, to say, do things to push me in the right directions. Obviously, like as a player, you don't want to get yelled at or talked to by a coach, but again, that's what they're there for. And she just did a great job of making sure I was on the straight and narrow with the classroom and with my skills as well on the court, just pushing me each day, each practice, each game to get better as a leader, as a player, to help my teammates. And then just since she's been there, she's actually been there for she's going on 21 years now of coaching there. So she's done a great job of continuing that program. We won the state championship my junior year of high school. We went to the championship game 3 times, but only won once. And since then, she's actually run a few times back-to-back. So definitely a great opportunity for me to come through that program. She's done a great job to being there and continuing to push that program forward.
And you mentioned winning a state championship. That's something that really sticks with an athlete throughout their career, throughout their lives, really, because those are teammates that you played with growing up for the most part. And a state championship is really a very special memory, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, not a lot of people get to win state championships, so it's definitely a memory to hold on to. I mean, even the ones that you don't win or that are a little heartbreaking to you, kind of hold on to that too as well. But definitely a great experience, and I still talk to a lot of those girls today that were on that team that I played in high school with, so just a great experience.
Now, along about this time, you're being recruited by colleges. Tell me about that recruitment process, what you went through there, you and your family. Of course, with your mom and dad's background, you had experience going for you as a family as far as being recruited was concerned. But tell me about the process for you.
I'm going to be honest, I don't really remember a lot of it. But I did kind of, like you said, I did get a gist of it just with having my brother. I just remember seeing, like, he had boxes of letters from all kinds of coaches, which I had somewhat of an amount compared to him. But I just remember, you know, talking to a few coaches every now and then. And I knew that I was going to go play somewhere, but obviously I didn't know at the time. And I wasn't as active as girls are today with having social media and talking about having offers and going to different unofficial visits and official visits. So I guess that would have been fun for me to do, but it was a smooth process. I think I had a pretty good idea of where I wanted to go. I wanted to stay somewhat close to home where my family would come and watch me play. Actually, my high school coach said a joke that my top 3 teams were all the color, like they had blue colors in their the color blue in their colors, so that was kind of funny because that was kind of true. but yeah, it was a smooth process, and Kentucky caught my eye, and yeah.
And the fans here are certainly glad that it did. Coach Mitchell was very early in his tenure at Kentucky, right, when you got here, and of course trying to build the program and put some new things in. Did you feel a lot of energy around the program at that time?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, just being a freshman coming in too, just a new system, a new atmosphere. I'm a little nervous, but also excited to kind of see what the future would hold. And I knew the girls that I was coming in with were pretty talented as well. And we were all on the same mindset that we wanted to go somewhere. We wanted to change a program. Mm-hmm. So definitely excited that we were able to go there.
Sure. And you mentioned that Kentucky caught your eye. Could you elaborate on that a little bit as to what might have caused you to make the decision to attend UK?
Outside of them being the color blue, no. Their coaching staff at the time I was close with, they were one of the coaching staff that I talked to a lot. So at the time it was Mickey DeMoss, who was the head coach, and Nia Butts, who was an assistant, who's an assistant back now, Pam Stackhouse. Mm-hmm. Just built a connection with them, just talking to them on the phone, and then just being able to see me play over the summers. They saw the potential in me, and I understood them, what they wanted from me, what they needed from me. And it was not too far from home. So, you know, it was only a 4-hour drive. So it wasn't too bad for my parents or for me to get back home. Yeah.
Now, when you got to UK and they're building the environment, the atmosphere, and it's such a great fan base for the UK women's team now, and was then, I would think as well. What did you think of that? What were your impressions playing at the Coliseum and having the fans come out, especially as you began to have some real success on the court?
At first, honestly, I didn't really know what to expect. The only college game I'd been to was, like, I've been to college football games, but I'd never been to, like, a college basketball game. So that was a new experience, just kind of seeing Memorial. Not that we had not a ton of fans, but there were still enough fans to kind of catch your eye. But then that was a very exciting time. I think that kind of just, I guess the competitiveness also kind of comes in when, you know, you have people watching you, you want to be the best you can be, compete. And then just over the years, just having that same mentality of, like I said before, I knew that when I went in there and the class that I went in with, we wanted to go somewhere where we'd be able to change the program and make a difference. And we just kind of had that same mindset over those 4 years, and we did it.
You led the way for some really good UK teams, 28-8 your junior year, 25-9 your senior year. You had an Elite Eight appearance, and I believe it was the junior year team that was 17-0 at home. So you really took advantage of the home court there. Tell me about those experiences being on those really good teams. What made those teams blend together and have the success that they had?
I just think from the beginning, we all had the same mindset. And so I would say the transition from my sophomore year into my junior year, Coach Mitchell and the rest of the coaching staff. Sorry, hold on a second. Okay. Hey, yeah, go take it in there, please. He found some candy, so he's excited.
Oh, well, that's a big event.
Yeah. I kind of forgot what I was saying.
We were talking about the really good UK teams that you played on, especially your junior and senior year.
What made
them blend together and have such success?
Yeah. So over summer and preseason, it was instilled in us by Coach Mitchell and the rest of the coaching staff that we were going to play defense. And that was already a mindset for me that I preferred to play defense anyway rather than play on offense. Mm-hmm. But I just think having that mentality collectively definitely helps with all the drills and the practices that we did. And we just all kind of came together and we're like, well, this is what we're going to do. We have the woman power for it, the talent for it. And, we all understood that and understood that's what we had to do to be able to be successful. And we accepted it and pushed forward.
Yeah, you mentioned playing defense, and you're among the leaders at UK in blocks and steals. And defense involves a lot of work. Everybody likes to score points, but what motivated you to do that work and become as good at defense as you were? What did you enjoy so much about playing defense?
That was actually one of the first things I ever learned about basketball. The first time I ever played basketball, the coach that I played for, his name was John Patton, and his motto was, "Don't fake the defense." And with me being the only girl on the team, I was somewhat hesitant, but also I was quick and fast, and I loved playing defense. And ever since then, that's the only thing I ever wanted to do. And so for me, I think just knowing that how good of a defender I was to be able to keep somebody from doing what they wanted to do, whether that was scoring, passing, dribbling, whatever it was, and messing up their movement and their rotations, I enjoyed that a lot. I enjoyed also blocking shots, which got in trouble for that a couple times.
Yeah,
but that competitiveness of just hard nosed. Yes, I see that, sweetie. Thank you. Just being competitive and loving. I think just loving that part to be able to keep somebody from doing what they wanted to do. I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned playing on a team where you were the only girl. What was the situation there? What level was that?
Like it was a junior pro league in Nashville, Tennessee. And at the time, my mother didn't know of any other girl teams again. So that was a team that my brother had played on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just like, I just said, I wanted to play basketball, and that's where I started playing basketball.
Yeah.
Well, it was fine. I mean, I don't really remember a lot of that because it didn't last very long, but, it was still fun. I still enjoyed it. I have actually a videotape of me out there playing defense, and I had a boy shove me because I was playing such good of a defense that he wasn't able to score.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun to think about.
Well, when you get a reaction like that, you know you're getting to him with your defense, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, was that something, it sounds like once you got out there and competed and showed that, you know, everybody could see what you could do, there was acceptance on the part of your teammates and everything seemed to go pretty well. You just got to play basketball after that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely for me, most of my coaches and teammates knew I was going to do for sure two things on the floor. I was going to play defense and rebound. And again, not a lot of people like to do that, so I definitely enjoyed it. And they knew they were going to get that out of me. But also, I just wanted to do the best I could for my teammates, which is also why I kind of got my points up more because I had to for my teammates and needed to for my teammates for us to be successful. So that was also a huge step for me too.
We talked a little bit about your high school teammates and going for the state championship, and you formed friendships with your UK teammates as well, and referred to them in your Hall of Fame induction speech as sisters. And tell me about those relationships. If there's anything that kind of illustrates what the closeness of your teammates and the relationships you form in going through that experience of playing college basketball together.
Yes, I mean, just through that time, a lot of time is spent together with those ladies. I mean, we have, not even just within practice, but team meals and even just with classes as well. So there was a lot of a time where we were together, spending time together, one, to make sure we had that connection, had that bond for the court, but also just to make that connection, just because as a college athlete, you don't have a lot of time to be able to socialize outside of that. And so I think we just did a good job of connecting with each other, hanging out with each other, and kind of trying to do things as many things as we could to have fun outside of just playing basketball and just being in school together. But we have a group chat with pretty much that my class and the class that's already since graduated. We all keep in touch as much as we can, and whenever we can get together, if we're all in the same area, we try to do something to go out to eat or hang out, just because we have a lot of memories, good, bad memories, fun memories. And it's just exciting for us to kind of reminisce on and just think about how that was already, it's already been at least 10 years since I've graduated. So,
yeah, that's hard for all of us to believe, but time has passed.
Yeah.
Sometimes teams and players, teammates can form a bond and get closer when they travel. When you're traveling, you're all in there together, whether it's on a plane or on a bus after you get off the plane and you're in a hotel. It's just you and the visiting environment. Any experiences in travel that stand out to you that maybe have helped those relationships or just were a memory that you're not going to forget as far as your college experience was concerned?
I just feel like every road trip we had when we were going somewhere, we always try to do something fun as a team in our rooms, at least, and not to get trying to get in too much trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But whether that was with games, cards, or just talking, having conversation with each other, we actually made a video at one point where we made up songs, but that just having those moments, nothing specifically stands out, but just I think each time we went somewhere, definitely we all made an effort to make sure that, one, we were keeping up with what we all were doing, whether in the classroom, personal stuff, with the family or whatever it was. And it was a great time.
Yeah, and people do go through personal things as they go through a college career or at any time. And so if they've got teammates who are also good friends, that's a chance to confide in somebody. And sometimes that can be pretty important. And people do have different situations they have to deal with.
Absolutely. My two go-to people, Amber Smith and Carly Morrow, because we all three of us went there as freshmen together. And just over those 4 years, we stayed connected to each other, whether we all had something different going on. We kind of knew how to bring each other back and to keep each other grounded. And we played for each other, worked hard for each other, made sure we had our grades up in the classroom for each other. So those two are my besties.
Well, you went on to play professional basketball. Tell me about the WNBA experience for you.
Ooh, that was a very interesting, grateful experience. I knew that's something I wanted to do. in my rookie year, I think it was amazing that I was in that element, but also be able to see all the women who had played previous years. I think it was always fun going somewhere and kind of seeing like, oh, I remember we played Indiana Fever and Tamika Catchings was mm-hmm. out there, and I was like, oh, that's Tamika Catchings. Yeah. I might have to play against her today.
Yeah.
But no, that was a great experience, just being able to travel, all the women that I met, played against, played with. It was fun.
Now, you also had some professional experience overseas, played in Spain. I'm always kind of envious of the athletes who get to do some international travel and play overseas and have a different experience there. And while your goal may be to play at the top levels here in the U.S., at the same time, that's a unique experience to be able to play in another country. What was that like for you?
Yes, it was originally a culture shock for me. So after my rookie season with Mystics, I was in Turkey, Ankara, Turkey for 3 months. And that was a little bit of a culture shock for me. I had never been out of the States before. I had never been away from my parents for that long before, that far of a distance. So that was definitely new, but I had two other, girls who actually played with on the Mystics who were on the same team that I played with in Ankara. So that was kind of helpful to have somebody that I already knew there to kind of show me the ropes and show how I did, how the daily process goes for, practices and stuff. But it was fun. I mean, just the different culture, the different languages, the atmosphere, the climate. I mean, I went to Turkey and it was freezing cold. There was snow everywhere, which I'd obviously seen snow before, but I wasn't prepared for that as much as I thought I would be. And so I was in Turkey for 3 months. I went to Israel for 3 months. Israel was very fun. I loved that. It was warmer. There were a few other girls that I knew that I've been playing against, so that was fun too. Traveled a lot more there. And then most recently I went to Spain. I went to Spain and was in Spain in 2015, 2016. So definitely a great experience, all around. Good travel, good food.
Yeah, and I'd read about the Spain, but had not known about your experience in Turkey and Israel. So you got to meet, see different cultures, as you say, different languages, and maybe most importantly, get to meet different people from different parts of the world. And that's, I would think, always a mind-opening experience. And in addition to the basketball, was it that way for you to enjoy meeting people who were natives of those countries?
Oh yeah, for sure. It was again, like the only other language that I at least spoke or knew of was Spanish, just from high school. But I never heard anybody speak Turkish, so that was interesting. Or Hebrew too. So just kind of being in those elements, just kind of seeing how a lot of people live and just their culture was fun. It was different, eye opening.
Yeah. Did you have an experience, for instance, like ordering food or anything that maybe there was a little bit of a language barrier that popped up at that point?
None that I can think of. For the most part, if I went somewhere and got food in Turkey, I would have a Turkish teammate with me who also spoke English. Or I probably honestly just went to like McDonald's or something. They had McDonald's over there, so I would just point out whatever number I wanted and. But there weren't any other problems. And then in Israel, I feel like it was a little bit more Americanized. There, a lot of people spoke English there. And then when I got to Spain, I kind of already knew I knew a lot of Spanish. So I took it in high school. So it was pretty fun to be able to speak and order and talk in Spanish to my teammates in throughout that country. So.
Oh, yeah, that's great that you're able to make use of the course you took in high school and see it as people use it in their daily lives. Probably felt good to have to at least knock down a little bit of that language barrier.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was very fun. They were a little surprised. I understood it a lot more than I could speak it, but it was still fun.
Right. I wanted to ask you, in going back maybe to the childhood days, did you have favorite athletes growing up that you followed or wanted to be like or wanted to imitate? Anybody, any big names on your list?
When I first started playing basketball, Kobe Bryant was my number one person. Mm-hmm. I loved watching him play. I had his jersey at one point. outside of that, not really. Outside of my parents, honestly, those were like my two idol athletes. But I honestly don't really remember watching a lot of sports when I was young. But once I kind of started getting into basketball, like I would start playing basketball and watch football whenever my dad was watching on TV. But probably the only person was Kobe. And then next, on the track side, I would say Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Yeah.
She was a multi-event athlete. So kind of going the track route, that was my idol.
Well, we've talked about your career and leading up to this point in your life. What do you think is ahead for you in the next few years? I know you're going to be busy with young children for at least a little while, but what's ahead for you, you think?
Nothing, just family time, getting into more coaching as the seasons progress. I coached high school basketball a few years ago. I was a head coach at a small school in Cincinnati, Ohio. For a few years, but now I'm just coaching AAU. So just the travel with those girls, and then just the relationship building and with the coaching staff as well. So that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the coaching, of course, takes tremendous dedication too, and some athletes want to stay in the game and coach after their playing careers, and then others want to go in a different direction. Do you feel like you have the coaching bug that you really would like to at some point possibly jump back in then, right?
Yes, I do. I kind of go back and forth with it all the time. I keep in touch with Amber Smith, and mm-hmm. I know she's doing a great job there. And I know that eventually I would get back into that. A goal also for me is to coach at the next level in college too. So I definitely know that is very time consuming, and it is a very dedicated job that you have to make sacrifices for. So eventually I could get to that point, but like I said, I have the two young kids, so I'm not ready to kind of hang that up yet, but eventually I would like to get back into coaching and kind of make it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wish you well in that, and I'm sure all your UK fans wish you well as well, and we certainly enjoyed watching you play during your playing days here, and glad to hear things are going very well for you now, and wish you well in the future, and thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Sports Page with Keith Elkins, an exclusive podcast from 91.3 WUKY, produced by Alan Lytle. Our theme music is Peanut Butter and Jam by Illogical Bit, available at soundcloud.com/illogicalbit. Subscribe to The Sports Page through Google Play or at our website, wuky.org.